I am so sorry. I assigned you, and every time I tried, I kept going into closed
Coughing.
session. Yes.
Can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, do we need another roll call since we took one before?
We do, so we know that everybody's returned from closed
Okay.
session. So we're going to open closed session at, or open, reopen open session at 9:32. And I just want to remind everyone that the meeting is being recorded and posted on the website.
Thank you.
Trustee Braunstein?
Here.
Trustee Jones?
Here.
Trustee McNicholas?
Here.
Trustee Perry?
Here.
Trustee Vickers?
There. We have the pledge. Is there a flag location?
I have a flag.
Great. Thank you. Please stand.
I don't see anybody in the room.
There are, you know, that if this is weird, Patty. I did assign you. Do you want me to put them in?
Kim will be presenting.
Okay.
Okay, ready to begin? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, public for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Need a motion to adopt our agenda, please?
So moved.
Second. Roll call, Kathy?
Yes, Trustee Braunstein?
Aye.
Trustee Jones? Trustee Jones?
Here.
Aye.
Trustee McNicholas?
Aye.
Trustee Perry?
Here.
Trustee Vickers?
Yes. Here. I don't know if this is a vocal cassette here. It's
aye. We're adopting the agenda, so it's an aye. Yeah.
We have a report out of closed session on a 5-0 vote. The board approved the appointment of Kim Thomas, Director, Instructional Services, Nicole Berkman, Director, Student Support Services, and Dominic Villanueva, Program Coordinator. I hope I did his name correctly. And that's our report out of closed session. Now we move to an Executive Director's Report. Patty?
Thank you. Let me take a look at my list. So I would like to add two things to my list. So if I could add a 1.5 for summer school and a 1.6 for college and career guidance. So I wanted to give you a brief update of the legislative work that's happening right now. There is a bill that has been presented to the legislature on increasing the CTIG allocation. So Patrick O'Donnell is sponsoring the bill. As you know, he leads the education committee, and he is he hasn't made it public yet, but he's asking to double the CTIG to 300 million. So of course we are following this bill very closely support it, and we've asked our districts to support it as well. It's still in the baby stages, but it is a trailer bill to the governor's budget. So if it goes through the process and is approved, it will be included in the 21-22 budget. So crossing our fingers, that would be fantastic for all of us. So, and it does not affect the K-12 workforce program, which is separately funded, and that would remain with 150 million. CTIG would be 300 million if this goes through. The other additional changes to that grant would be that he is asking for the language to change so that it would no longer be a grant, but just CTE funding. So that would be nice too. Although CDE did advise us that because this is ongoing funding, they refer to it as categorical funding, and we can expect those funds each year and in fact should plan for those funds, we would continue to receive, even whether this passes or not, we would continue to receive the similar allocation to what we've gotten over the last few years. As long as we retain our ability to meet the 12 elements of a high quality CTE program, which we do. So there's another legislative bill in the process that comes back every couple of years, and it is a bill to change the probationary status of ROP teachers, giving them permanent status. And that bill is AB 388. We also are keeping an eye on that bill, and of course we're opposing that bill, and we've asked our districts to oppose that bill as well. And I'll keep you updated on both of those pieces of legislation as they move through the process. Okay, I have to keep going back to my board agenda here. I wanted to just give you an update on our partnership in the early college work. We have been involved in the early college Running Start program with CUSD and Saddleback College for the past few years. We've made some progress this year at Capo Valley High School in that one of our auto classes started out as an articulated class for the first semester and will be dual enrollment the second semester, and we plan to do that each year so that our students go from a semester of an articulated course to a dual enrollment course, and then hopefully into the additional Running Start classes the following year. So it's kind of a feeder program for our CCA class to the Running Start class for one section of auto right now. In addition, Nicole works very closely with the team in promoting the Running Start program and the early college program at the school site with all of our CTE teachers, and she works with the academic advisors and counselors at the site to promote early college opportunities at Capo Valley. In addition, we started working with Dana Hills High School. I met with Dana Hills principal and assistant principal to start the early conversation about adding early college courses at Dana Hills. We met with the Saddleback group as well, so we've had two meetings, and we've been talking about getting the most bang for our buck. So taking some courses that are already in our current pathways and seeing where we have gaps so that students can earn articulated credit and then dual enrollment credit so that they have the best opportunity of earning a certificate or a degree while they're in high school. So we're not starting from scratch. We're combining classes with multiple opportunities for students to earn credit towards those certificates and degrees. Okay? Right now, they're looking at many opportunities. We don't want to do the same thing we're doing at Capo Valley. So we're talking about culinary, potentially culinary. We're talking about maybe something with the arts pathway, that we have such a strong arts pathway there, and the health and medical occupations pathway, because those do have articulated courses already. It would be easy to develop a certificate program or AA program with those pathways. So in the beginning talks there. We're also going to be reaching out to San Clemente High School to start talks about potential classes there. Dana Hills, we're planning for fall of 2022, and for San Clemente, somewhere around the same time, fall of 2022, to start one or two, maybe three classes there. Okay. And Nicole and I serve on that team with Susan and Greg and Tim Hornig and some of the other group. And so, let me see, I keep coming back to my agenda. Sorry about that. Oh, an update on the new campus. So I hinted the other day when I saw a couple of you that we are building a new boardroom there. So we have got our classes up and running. They look fantastic. I can't wait to have you all there in person to show you around. They just are finishing up the fire truck enclosure for our fire truck. So they've got the roof on and they're moving some storage units over for us to have additional storage there. We fixed up one room as a teacher's lounge and we're fixing up another room as a board room in addition to our classes.
Is
so
this
we're excited.
Valley?
I'm sorry?
Valley? Is this
at Capitol Valley up on the upper? Yep, our new campus up on the upper campus. You'll be surprised how great it looks. It's turned out really nice and the classrooms look really nice and we're grateful to CUSD for all the work they've done to make it nice and, you know, to make it specific to us. So we even ordered a new sign. We modeled it after the old sign in downtown San Juan Capistrano. So it's the wood sign and it looks really cool and it'll be installed soon. But I'm hopeful that after we're all vaccinated and we can get back in person and we can all meet over there in the coming months for our next board meeting or the following one, and I can take you all on a tour. Okay. So 1.4, the Future Friday series. We took a little break from our Future Friday series that is the career series that we're providing to elementary schools. They were so excited about it that we started with 4 schools. We now have 9 elementary schools that are in our pilot program. And we're working closely with the Futurology counselors and Nicole is heading up that team. And what we've done is we're working to develop 36 separate presentations that show a career, and usually it's one of our students who has gone into that career, telling people about the career, and then we zoom into the lab. So they get to zoom in and talk to the teacher. There's a Q&A session. They take them on a little tour. It's very cool. Everybody that's been participating loves it. What we thought we'd do is develop a library of those 36 careers, and then we can show them for middle school. They can be part of our counseling and guidance program, and we'll have them for years to come, as well as update them along the way. We are resuming that program tomorrow. So March 5th, it goes back into every Friday at 9 elementary schools.
It's kind of like the new version of Career Day.
Yeah.
When everybody's parents used to come in and say what they did for a living, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So Patty, some good things have come from this virtual world.
So Patty, will that library be available to Laguna Beach students?
Yes, actually, we've included Lynn in our meetings now.
Oh, good.
So your new career guidance, she's in the meetings with Nicole. Okay. And she will be part of these presentations. They'll be available to your sites as well. And we thought we would work with your elementary and middle school sites to see if they'd like to join the presentations on our Friday meetings, the future Fridays.
Okay.
So all of that is in the works.
Thank you.
You know, your current principal,
Nicole has been...
I was just going to say, your current principal at Top of the World
is
one of our former staff members, Julie Hatchell, and I'm sure she would be delighted to be involved in something like this. She's wonderful.
I was thinking I'll pass it on to Chad Mayberry because he's coordinating all those programs in our district as far as what we're doing with the career exploration.
Great. And Nicole's been heading up that work. Excuse me, with the counseling and guidance piece of, developing our career centers, our college and career centers, and really working on the services that we will be providing. And of course, we're serving in a support role for that work. And we will continue to support the career side of things. They already provide an excellent college counseling program, and we're working with them to really amp up the career piece of guidance and counseling. So Nicole's bringing the AAs, the counselors, and the futurology counselors together to meet and talk about those college and career centers at each site for all of our future plans. And okay, then the next thing I wanted to tell you about is the summer school work that we're doing. So traditionally, we have offered summer school, and the only times that we haven't have been in years where it's we just couldn't afford to. We've had budget cuts or some other issue, but this year we feel it's more important than ever to offer summer school. And because Capistrano Unified has graciously allowed CCA to keep 100% of the CTIG grant this year, we decided to use some of those funds for summer school. And I've been working with Susan Holliday on the focus of these classes. So what we want to focus on first is any students that need remediation or need credit recovery. Second, we would like to focus on graduating seniors who perhaps need a job or need a plan. What we intend to do is offer courses that have a high value of employment and provide focused counseling services to the students of their post-secondary options. But we will prioritize students who need credit recovery and students who need potential employment or that link to college for this summer. So some of the classes we're talking about are business skills, so not entrepreneurship, not running your own company, but actually working in a business. So this learning how to provide customer service, prepare spreadsheets, operate word processing, all of those types of skills that you need in a business, and some accounting skills. So we're going to offer a business skills type class. Then we've been talking about also offering a medical class, such as medical assisting, because those jobs are abundant, and we can train people and get them to work pretty quickly. We've also talked about adding an accounting class because 100% accounting is a math credit. They get math credit for the accounting course. And then we've talked about adding a fab lab or makerspace type of program utilizing the new lab at Dana Hills, which has welding and laser engraving and 3D printing and vinyl printing and a multitude of skills, a CNC bench mill. So they can try different skills and potentially get jobs, entry-level jobs from that class as well.
Or I tried that.
Interested in going to college.
I tried that virtual welding.
The welding?
It is so cool. It is so cool. I would love to bring people in there and show them that.
I know.
Sorry, I had to interject.
We're supposed to be getting, we're supposed to be getting the rest of the equipment in the next few weeks. So we'll try and have like a grand opening for that too, because it is cool. It's going to be really cool. So I love that lab. So those are some of the ideas we're kicking around right now for summer school. In addition, we're going to be offering our middle school boot camps again. And what we've decided to do with all of these classes is offer a morning session for 15 students and an afternoon session for 15 students. So that way we can continue the hybrid model and still have 30 students a day attending in person. So the engineering boot camp will be offered at Capitol Valley High School, and the robotics boot camp will be offered at Capitol Valley High School. So those are what we're discussing. We're still in the beginning talks of determining the classes. And so once we have a better idea, I'll send you an update on the actual classes that we'll be offering, and we'll get flyers out to our community so that students can enroll. And that concludes my report.
Patty, do you want to talk about 1.6 college and career guidance?
I kind of did.
Okay.
When I talked about the career centers, that was really what I intended to let them know about, Nicole meeting with those teams and planning the services from the career center.
Okay, thank you.
I have a couple of quick questions. You mentioned early on various bills that we've asked our districts to support or oppose. Have they done that? Have they sent letters of support and opposition?
Not yet. Kirsten's working on that. She's got a list, and she's been working with some of our partners, capital advisors, and school services to put something together. So I know it's in the works. And then I just sent the information to Jason Valoria, because I was waiting till you guys got your Friday update before I sent it over to Laguna Beach as well.
Okay.
So we're still early in the process, but yes.
Can you also repeat the numbers that we're, the bill number that we are supporting and opposing? I'd just like to look them up for myself.
Yes.
I didn't take
the second one was 8388 was the opposition.
I think it was 388.
Bill number on O'Donnell's.
Well, it's a trailer bill.
Oh, so let me get. It has a number. Let me get it for you. Let's see. I do have that. O'Donnell is AB 839. And that's the one to increase the CTE incentive grant.
Right.
And then the other one is AB 388.
Well, 388, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank
and
you.
That's the one that we're opposing.
Okay, thanks. That's all I wanted.
Uh-huh.
Any other questions for Patty? Okay. Then Kathy, do we have any comments from the public
We do not.
Thank you. We move to the consent calendar. There are four items on the consent calendar. We take this as a single motion, unless you wish to pull something off.
I'll move approval of the consent calendar.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay. Yeah. Have a roll call vote, Kathy.
Trustee Bronstein.
Aye.
Trustee Jones.
Aye.
Trustee McNicholas.
Aye.
Trustee Perry.
Aye.
Trustee Vickers.
Yes. We move to our action and discussion items. Our first item is the 2019-20 audit.
And I sincerely apologize. I sent the Zoom link to Brian from Edie Bailey. He acknowledged he received it, but he is not here in attendance.
Okay. So Patty, do you present this or do we bring it back at another time?
I think I need to present it because it has to be approved at this board meeting. Normally our auditors attend in December and we approve this in December, and this year has been very unusual. As you know, everything has had to be done virtually. It took much longer than normal for us to get the audit. So what I'd want to do is present it to you as is, and then should you have any questions, I can also follow up after this meeting to get anything cleared up. But Cindy did go through the audit. I went through the audit. We did have questions. We wrote back to them. They made changes. And this is the version, the final version that they sent us after making the corrections that we asked them to make. So we believe this is a good audit. There were no findings in this audit. And There were a couple of changes from last year to this year, but we asked them about them and they explained them to us. So I feel confident presenting this audit to you and seeking your approval on it.
Thank you. We have a motion to accept, approve the audit.
So moved.
Okay, second.
Discussion, questions for Patty? Or?
I would just like to hear from Cindy, make sure that Patty wasn't just putting words in her mouth.
Cindy, can you unmute?
Yeah. Yes, we had, did have some initial questions on the audit. They changed something, the way they were reporting something, and so it, but we did get corrections made and explanations made, and we are confident with this audit now. And yes, they did not find any, they did not have any findings.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion or questions? Roll call, please.
Trustee Bronstein?
Aye.
Trustee Jones?
Aye.
Trustee McNicholas?
Aye.
Trustee Perry?
Aye.
Trustee Vickers?
Yes. Our second item is the presentation of the second interim report, and that will be Cindy.
Yes. I present to you the second interim financial reports for fiscal year 2020-2021. Our revenue is projected at $3,749,137. It's a net increase of $799,896 from first interim, and that's due to projected increases in career and technical education grant funding of $760,561, and the Strong Workforce Program K-12 Pathway Improvement Grant funds of $57,335. There was also a decrease in projected interest income of $18,000. Our expenditures are also projected at $3,749,137, an increase of $799,896 from first interim, and that's due to projected increases in, there are projected increases in certificated salaries of $451,000. $740, classified salaries of $9,527, employee benefits of $161,997, textbook supplies and non-CAP equipment of $5,681, services and other operating expenditures of $163,418, and capital outlay of $7,532. There were transfers of $14,924 to certificated salaries from classified salaries and employee benefits, $21,545 to classified salaries from employee benefits and supplies and equipment, $141,140 to services and other operating expenditures from certificated salaries and supplies and equipment, and $7,532 to capital outlay from supplies and equipment. There were revenue adjustments were increases of $760,561 for the Career Technical Education Incentive Grant and $57,335 for the K-12 Strong Workforce Pathway Improvement Grant, and the decrease of $18,000 for interest. Expenditure adjustments were increases of $562,920 for certificated salaries, $182,404 for employee benefits, $32,293 for supplies and equipment, and $22,278 for services and other operating expenditures. CTE is ongoing funds, and we have been advised to project future revenues using these funds. As Patty mentioned, we've been assured by the CDC that CDE that we will be receiving the same or similar allocations each year, and as long as we meet the 12 elements of a highly qualified CTE education, we should project these in our budget. Salaries are increased this year,
and that's due to the health emergencies and the extra subbing and extra training, additional planning and staff meetings, etc. Supplies are decreased this year because of the decrease in hands-on learning during the in-person instruction, and some areas supplies increased due to individualized packets for students. And we expect supplies to increase as the fund grants increase. Because CUSD allowed CCA to keep 100% of the CTEIG grant to the Career and Technical Education Center grant this year, we were able to meet the increased salary expenditures and bring back some of the courses that were cut in the fall. We'll be planning to bring back several other courses next fall, and Kim will present this in her program planning presentation later in the meeting. And that's it. Thank you.
Any questions for Cindy?
Do you mind if I add something here? I'd like to just point out that our funding has changed over the years. So if you see our budget is $3.7 million in revenue and expenditures, I want to point out that we receive $1.2 million from CUSD, and we receive $185,000 from Laguna Beach. From those monies, we pay back for the MOU teachers that we hire to teach our classes. So to CUSD, we pay back about $530,000 of the $1.2 million that they give us. And to Laguna Beach, we pay back about $148,000 of the $185,000 that they give us. So my point here is that our main funding now comes from grants from the state, various grants and our adult education funds. So the money that makes up our revenue is now a majority grant funded. Okay? So I just wanted to point that out because we are changing over the years. I expect that more and more of our funding will come from grants in the future as we continue to seek out those funds. Thank you.
Is that the end that's reflected on page 20 of the pass back to the JPA partner?
That is actually grant funds that we pass through. Because we manage the grants, so we then pass through grant funds. But in the 5,000 section, there are MOUs that we pay for teacher salaries to both districts.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm not complaining because we love them. We love those teachers. They do a fantastic job for us. But I just want everybody, I want transparency so everybody understands where our funding comes from.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Patty?
Yes, I have a question on Patty's comment about CUSD is allowed us to keep all of the CTE grant. Is that it's hard to say, because that out of the kindness of our hearts that we do that, or is that something we'll have to negotiate? It's like count on that every year, right?
Yeah. So this year, for 1 year, I negotiated because of the COVID emergency and the increased expenditures that we have. I negotiated with the superintendent and the deputy superintendent of CUSD to keep the grant for CCA. We normally split it 70% for CCA and 30% for CUSD. And that's because of the courses we offer. CCA offers the more expensive courses. CUSD offers more of the VAPA type courses for CTE. So we negotiated that a few years back. But this year, I asked that we be allowed to keep the whole thing. And we looked at the funds that CUSD receives from the other grants. They receive much more in K-12 strong workforce funds than VA does. We don't receive very much at all. So CUSD gets the bulk of that money, and we determined that CUSD can use those funds this year, and CCA could use CTIG this year.
Okay.
So yeah, goodness of their heart.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, we always think we can't use one-time money to fund ongoing expenses. And if this is kind of a one-time gift because of the more expensive things we have to do this year, that's fine, but we can't really, you know, like fund a position with that money kind of thing.
So see to this, see that is not truly considered one-time funds because it's ongoing. And that grant is ongoing funds that the state has determined as ongoing categorical money. Also, the CTE incentive grant was designed to enhance and maintain career technical education. So truly, we have used it to maintain our programs because in 2015, when it started, we had, you know, pretty big budget cuts at that time. Without CTIG, we would have had to make huge cuts to our programs. So it has maintained our programs over the years.
Any other questions? Now ask for a motion, please, to approve the second interim.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Kathy, would you a roll call, please?
Yes. Trustee Bronstein?
Aye.
Trustee Jones?
Aye.
Trustee McNicholas?
Aye.
Trustee Perry?
Aye.
Trustee Vickers?
Yes. Our next item 8, is a WASC update. Patty, you're presenting this?
Yeah. I just want to give you a brief update on our WASC process. Our focus groups are meeting to examine the criteria and indicators, and they're searching for evidence and comparing and contrasting with the previous reports and updating on their work. They meet monthly, the leadership team meets weekly, and we are in the middle of it, in the middle of the process. Our intention is to have the report done by the end of the summer and submit it to the WASC team. So we are holding our meetings virtually. We've actually had better participation that way. And we are including other stakeholders in the work that we're doing outside of just our staff. So I expect to have a robust report in the coming months. So I just wanted to keep you updated on that. Thank you.
Any questions on that for Patty? No, then we'll move to 9, enrollment data presented by Kim Thomas.
Good morning. I present to you the enrollment numbers for fall of 2020 and spring of 2021, along with the comparison data from 2019 and 2020. You guys have probably looked it over. Do you have any questions?
Yes, go ahead.
I do. I knew we had CCA classes at Newhart, but I honestly had no idea we had any at Ladera Ranch or Ascensia. Like, what kind of middle school classes do we have?
So we do have on every single one of our middle school campuses, we have that CTE investigation lab, but they also will have culinary, they have a home art skills class. So they have some robotics. Each middle school has a little bit of different things, but as far as like classes that we've implemented, those are our CTE investigation labs on all the campuses.
Okay, and how do kids find out about that? I had a child at Ladera Ranch Middle School last year. I had never even heard of that. How are we marketing that?
Well, we are at all of the, anytime they invite us, we're at any of their enrollment, but we don't really get to the elementary schools as much. We send everything out, we share everything, but we are on the middle school campuses. And so if your child was maybe seventh grade, we would have been there promoting electives and promoting our CTE labs. We've been there probably, would it be like maybe 3 years, Patty? You think 3 years our CTE labs have been on all the campuses?
Yeah, so we put the CTE investigation labs on each campus. So there's about 19 modules in each lab of different things they can try out. There's CNC machines, robotics, video production, engineering, SolidWorks, 3D printers in every lab. And we do promote them somewhat, but we really leave it up to the school sites to promote the programs. And some schools do an excellent job. Vista Del Mar has 5 sections of the class, but some schools only have 1 or 2 sections. And I'm not sure. I would like for us to be able to do a better job of promoting those programs in the middle schools.
It's during the day or after bell? During the day?
During the day.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, that bums me out because I would have had both my kids do it. I never had any idea that was an LRMS.
That would not have been there for your older son, but and your younger one was in 8th grade last year, right?
No, 6th grade last year.
Oh,
so he was 6th grade last year. I never heard of this.
And isn't it? It would be an elective. They'd have to take, if they have to not take their band or not take Spanish.
Yeah, then they have the wheel. So what it should have been when we got classes, it should have been like, you can take the wheel, you can take your instrument, or you can take this.
Right.
And do we think it was on all the schools? Like it was on the sheet to sign up for classes?
Well, it also depends on if they had somebody dedicated to teach it too, because it's probably going to be one of your other elective teachers. Because you're not going to have, well, I don't know, Vista Del Mar, if they have 7 sections, they might have a dedicated teacher. But in most cases,
every school has a dedicated teacher that we've gotten CTE credentialed. So there is a CTE credentialed teacher teaching the lab.
But it isn't, what I'm saying is that they don't, that's not the only thing they do. It's because we, is it?
A lot of times it'll be a science teacher that's able interested in doing it, or whatever other teacher is interested and qualifies to get their CTE credential. So
yeah,
everyone that is, and you know, it is tough when the kids have, if they're interested in band, that's it. There's nothing else. There's no other space in their schedule to take anything else. Or ASB, once they choose that one elective, it's each year, they're stuck with, you know, they can't do anything else. I've heard a lot of parents mention, you know, complain and say, well, we really wanted to take this, but they're doing band. So
yeah,
I don't know if those are your kids, but it could have been something else that they were in and they just may never have mentioned it to them. You're on mute again.
You're muted.
Sorry.
We didn't do band, so we could have done it. I worry in general that sometimes maybe principals aren't being, or assistant principals aren't being held accountable enough to make sure we push these pathways. And I wonder if that's something we could talk to. I don't know who that would be, Susan Holliday or Greg. I feel like it's very inconsistent kind of each campus, and that the council, it kind of depends on what counselor you get, whether you hear about these opportunities. So I don't know if there's something we can do about that.
Yeah.
Well, it does require commitment
with the middle school principal. Yeah. I meet with the middle school principals once a month, so I can definitely bring it up in our next meeting, you know, about their commitment to the lab. Some principals are fantastic and support it, and they're all about it, but some principals, it's, you know, they have competing interests on their campus, so I know it's a struggle at some sites.
Yeah, and then you know, that's how we get kids excited about doing it in high school too. And I worry again. I think I've talked to some of you about this, that I don't think our 8th graders, especially fall 8th grade, are hearing about these pathways so that they can make choices to do school choice if they want to. So I think we're missing kids. And I know it's not you guys. I know you guys are trying to get on campus and do it. I think it's some of the principals and assistant principals take it more seriously than others.
We're
invited. We're invited on the campus. We've been in there. We come in and do a presentation and we show our video. If they invite us, we come. And we even reach out and say, hey, we're happy to do this. We'll go in any of your classes and speak. Nicole and I went around the last couple years and we're speaking at the all the middle schools, if they want us or they invite us.
Right. I think also it has to be in front of the parents.
like, I'm not sure an eighth grade, right? I'm not sure an eighth grader is going to say engineering, yay, right? But right. So I think we need to get these presentations in front of parents somehow.
Go ahead, Patty.
Go ahead, Gila.
Well, now my time started to.
I was just going to say, I think our college and career centers will help us. Go ahead, Gila.
We've even had difficulty in some of the high schools when we really kind of started bringing CCA more into the forefront. There was at least one high school campus that was very resistant for a long time and now seems to have caught up. I don't know actually in Laguna Beach, but one thing that happened in Laguna was that a former principal in CUSD became the Laguna Beach principal, and I think that might have boosted things there. I don't really know, I'm just speculating. But just principal interest is a big part of it because they all work for the principal. And some of our principals have really, really embraced it. Some of them have been a lot more leery. And I think that, you know, it started in the high school, working down to the middle school. But, I mean, principal, AAs, you name it, they've got to embrace it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think they are more so, as our numbers, you know, show that they're going up. And especially as we've... got the UC pathways and the grade bump. I think kids are saying this sounds like a lot more fun than AP chemistry, you know. So
what we've had in Laguna also is, since we've had that in place at our high school for quite a while, the college and career guidance person, they present at the high school PTA meetings. And so perhaps you could do that in your middle schools, if they would get to more information to parents that way. If I don't know if your PTAs are doing that. Our PTAs for a number of years have, at all levels, have taken the approach of having speakers come in and present information to parents.
Our PTAs would do that, I'm sure.
Yeah. We've actually started presenting at the PTAs. So we're slowly working our way to get to the parents where we can be most effective. And we also have, in the past, we've done a fill the bus kind of thing where we got parents on the bus and we brought them from the elementary school to the middle school and showed them our CTE labs and then took them to the high school. So now we've got parents and kids taking the bus around to see that. And we've done that a couple years and then COVID, but.
Right now, yeah.
But, you know, for example, Martha and Jan and I have been on this board for 6 years, Jan even longer. And the changes are just amazing. I mean, this was like a dozen classes or something. I mean, maybe it was a little bit more than that, but it wasn't like 40 or 60 or 80, just at the high schools. And I mean, the staff, this CCA staff should, I mean, they know how good they are, I think, but they have brought it to all the high schools. They have pushed it. They've brought it to the middle schools, the elementary schools. I thought in the beginning, you're crazy, but what they've done is just amazing. And I think, you know, it takes time for people to adjust to things.
It does. It really does. And it, particularly the information about A through G and dual enrollment, articulation, all those concepts, then put the classes in a whole other perspective for parents.
Yeah. And for staff. Parents. But Dan, I'm sure, can attest to the number of changes. Because Dan's been on her board forever and on the CCA board forever. And for me, it's just 6 years. And I'm just blown away by what's happened in 6 years.
Well, the change has been faster recently. But it was a number of years ago, getting past that stigma of voc ed and who is voc ed for, and it's not for all these other students. So, the changes are huge and they're really important.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're recognizing what it means, college and career, where it really elevated the concept of career as opposed to just, if you don't go to college, then we're not going to bother with you. So, and I think we were just so smart to change the name.
The university has really increased. Kids that are at the university are in certificate programs on their own campuses because they can take those for their job interview and show expertise in a certain area. So,
and we changed the name to College and Career Advantage.
Right.
And that took a while to kind of get people, you know, understanding that it really wasn't just CTE and ROP and voc ed. It's a whole different mindset. And I think that was difficult to get parents and teachers and administrators to get, and probably some of them still don't. But I find more and more, I mean, Pamela's kids are almost certainly college bound. And here she is saying, like, why didn't my kids know more about CTE? So, right. And I mean, that's a testament to how far we've come. A parent like Pamela 10 years ago would have, I'm not saying her, but someone like her would have kind of turned up their nose at these classes. And now no one is doing that.
No.
Right.
And even before we got to this point, for people that were aware of it, it meant that their kids who were working while they were going to college could get a much better job than working just as the bus person.
I agree. We've come a long way, definitely. And it's a work in progress. So we will definitely reach out to the middle schools and see what we can do to improve our PR there. And I'll tell you, Nicole is really leading that work. She's done a great job with that. She's been very involved with the PTA. So she'll pick up this ball and run with it and really, put those teams together. And really, that is our goal for those college and career centers, to work with not only the high school students, but those feeder schools that come to the high school, so they can really promote the opportunities for students while they're still in high school. So I think we're still on that path, and we're going to continue to improve as we go with the PR for the population. So thank you, Pamela.
Thank you. Any further questions or discussions on this? Then we can move to number 10, program planning, which is also Kim.
That's me too, yes. So every year, this is my favorite part of my job, is we go around to the principals, and we meet with the principals and the assistant principals, and we discuss our plans for the next year. And we take into consideration, you know, labor market information, industry needs, the school site interest, student interest, if it's the next level in the pathway. So we take that all into consideration, and then we meet with the principals, and we basically say, what are you looking for next year? And this is what we suggest, or, you know, we discuss it with them. So I have a little update for each school. So at Aliso McGill High School, we are adding a section of medical corps in order to strengthen our pathway in public safety, because to strengthen our health medical sciences. That way the teacher who teaches the sports med will teach the medical corps, and we'll have pathway completion. So we're also trying to clean up and strengthen our engineering pathway there. We've got architectural design for architects or for engineers, which we're going to we're going to double roster that class. And that way kids who are engineers and go on to the next engineering level will have a pathway completion, and kids who want to go on to the next level in architecture will have an architectural pathway completion. We're trying to help get pathway completion. We're also doing architectural design advanced, and then we have engineering principles. At Capo Valley, we're going to reinstate the virtual enterprise, and we're going to add a section of art of animation and a section of game design, if that teacher will teach game design as well as the art of animation. Dana Hills, we're going to reinstate the Kaiser internship and the Monarch Beach internship, which now they are, there's something else now.
Waldorf Astoria.
Right, they're Waldorf Astoria, so we need to change all of our paperwork and reinstate those. And that's basically based on opening up again. Once they open up, you know, if you guys have been around for a while, have seen those programs, are amazing. So bringing those back is a priority.
We also are going to create a separate internship class for the HMO program. And we're going to combine the health science with the medical core for health credit and UC approval. And then we're going to add a section of hospital careers with an internship. So that's for their HMO Academy kids. Laguna Beach, we did just add another section of medical hospital careers. Based on the numbers, we'll either continue that next year or, you know, depends on if we have enough student interest. San Clemente, we are adding the next level of the Cisco class, the IT Essentials class, and one commercial music class. And we're also cleaning up that engineering pathway as well by using those same different course numbers to get pathway completion. So on that campus, they have a lot of computer science, and they have the Cisco program, and those are for programmers and coders. So we've made our robotics one section, one number for program and coders and one for engineers, so the kids can kind of choose. But it's the same class, it's just they're going to go the pathway of coding and programming, and the other kids are going to go the pathway of engineering. So hopefully our numbers are going to, we're going to look at our numbers next year and see if this has, the strategy has worked. San Juan Hills is going to add a section of intro to business and computer applications, which they've had that before. They're going to also add another additional section of either video production or TV broadcast journalism based on the numbers. Again, we'll either add a second section, however many numbers there are. And then Tesoro High School wants to strengthen their teacher pipeline. So they want to add a section of educational psychology. And then we also want to add drone operations semester class, an A and a B. So kids who they mentioned they needed semester classes. So we thought we'd try to complete our aviation pathway by giving it drone operations. And this way the kids can take A or B in either order. We also have Sarah High School is going to add a section of commercial music. And then our after school classes, we're adding three new classes to the schedule. We're adding advanced sports medicine. It's going to be based at, we haven't decided if it's going to be Capo Valley High School or Tesoro, because the teacher originally used to teach at Tesoro High School, Mr. Higgs, and we're not sure where we're going to put that, if we're going to put it at Capo or Tesoro, since we just haven't made that decision yet. Forensics is going to be, hopefully, Dwayne Familet will come back and teach a section of forensics at Aliso Nagel High School in her old lab. Well, new old lab. She was there teaching forensics for many years and retired and misses the kids and wants to come back. And then we're going to do an engineering design class or some sort of a engineering intro class, something at the new Dana Hills lab. And so that's what we're planning for the fall. You guys have questions or comments?
Is there currently nobody teaching forensics at Aliso?
Oh, on the contrary. They have so many students that they are asking to add another section. So Mr. Belanto took over for Dwayne Familet, and he's apparently very popular, very successful, because now they want a whole other section.
Okay.
He teaches six sections a day, and now they're asking me if Kelly Murphy can also teach forensics because they have that many students who want to take it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kim. It's adding a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we have any particular areas where we're looking for instructors that perhaps some of us could reach out to somebody and try to find someone?
Stagecraft, for sure, right? We need a stagecraft teacher at two campuses.
Engineering. We need an engineering teacher.
Well, I don't know if Petra has agreed to do that, but we, you know,
she still needs engineering.
Still need engineering.
Ongoing.
And then, there was one more we just posted.
Architecture? Do you need architecture?
No.
Where are you posting them?
Ed Join.
Sports medicine? Do you need sports medicine?
No, we're not. No, Sean Higgs is going to come back and do that for us.
Okay. What about the programming, networking jobs at San Clemente? Do you need anybody for those?
No,
Patrick O'Rourke. Patrick O'Rourke is a district teacher, and he's teaching that Cisco for us. He's their computer science teacher, and he took all the training so that he could do the Cisco pathway for us.
Okay.
I'll check in. Engineering is tough, but I have some contacts that I might be able to mine for stick.
It can be it can be engineering or manufacturing, because our pathway with Saddleback is more on the manufacturing side, so it can be either of those.
Okay.
And then, of course,
do you need any other
questions? Oh, I'm sorry. We're looking to hire an office or admin person, so if you guys know anybody, we'll be flying that position also.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Now we come to action item 11, California Career Technical Education Incentive Grant Program, MOU between CAPO Unified and College and Career Advantage. Patty?
Yes, each year we ask that both districts sign an MOU with CCA to meet the 12 elements of a highly qualified CTE program. Together, our two organizations, or our three organizations, because we have two separate MOUs, meet the requirements of this grant in providing enhanced and maintaining current career technical education. With these grants, we've provided over 35 new labs and now three new college and career centers. We've bought massive equipment for our existing programs, and we've brought all of our CTE programs into a higher level of industry standard training. So this grant is super important to all of us, and we have to have an MOU each year. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Patty? I have a motion, please.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? Not then. A roll call, please, Kathy.
Trustee Bronstein?
Aye.
Trustee Jones?
Aye.
Trustee McNicholas?
Maybe you can
come back to her. I think
she had an interruption.
Trustee Perry?
Aye.
Trustee Vickers?
Yes. Can we go ahead and move to 12? California Career Technical Education Incentive Grant Program, MOU between Laguna Beach Unified and College and Career Advantage. I think that's the same explanation, Patty.
Yes, this is the exact same thing, only we partner with Laguna Beach separately. The reason that we've done these grants separately is because of the pots of money. We get more money if we apply separately than if we apply all three of us together. So,
right.
We're strategic.
Right. Can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Have a second? Okay. Any discussion? Roll call, Kathy, please.
Trustee Bronstein?
Aye.
Trustee Jones?
Aye.
Trustee McNicholas? Trustee Perry?
Aye.
Trustee Vickers?
Yes. Thank you. Our next is item 13, board meeting dates and times for the remainder of 2021. And Patty, are we planning a meeting for next week?
No.
On there.
Yeah, I wondered.
Oh, I think that's an error.
I apologize.
That's good.
Yeah.
So we have, are you presenting this? So we're just looking at agreement for if this.
Yes, and as you know, we schedule these meetings, and then we're a pretty flexible group, so should we need to change anything, if you just reach out to Kathy and let us know, we can make changes at that time.
Okay.
And just to clarify, there's only one meeting in December, right? Even though there were four choices. It's a first interim and annual organization meeting, but it can be the same, correct?
It can be the same. However, if CUSD chooses different representatives, then we would have to have two meetings. We won't know who CUSD selects until the December 15th meeting. And we may have to have an additional meeting just to set up our annual org. Because at the 15th, we need to approve first interim. That's due to the county.
So even though the results from the election will,
I'm doing our meeting in November because it was 1 year where we were in the same position, and so we've just done it that way ever since. But I would say that we probably need to plan to do it after their meeting, so we wouldn't need to do an additional meeting.
Well, we have to have first interim to the county by the 15th.
Okay.
So that's a given.
Why don't we keep doing it in the November meeting?
I could ask. Typically, they don't, but I can check and ask if they will.
Okay. And then for me, I would just prefer not to be Tuesday, if that's on those choices, Monday or Tuesday.
Dude, I prefer not Mondays because I have our mission meetings Monday mornings.
When we have a board meeting on Wednesday, we have to turn in our questions to the staff by Monday at noon. And so that can be a really difficult day for our board members. That's not every time, but you do have two dates when it's the Monday prior to a board meeting. It's just, sometimes you're really rushing to get those questions done.
Should we just hold off on the December meetings until we get closer to December, and then we can reach out and determine a date?
I do have to fill out some forms for the county. They've requested to know what our December organizational date will be.
Okay.
We
can pick something, but then change it.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
We could go ahead and meet on either the December 13th or 14th and to just do the first interim and then do a short reorg meeting on the 20th or 21st. Because that's all we have to do is just the reorg.
Yes. And the resolutions, all those resolutions we normally have, which is quick.
Yeah, but that would all be quick. And of course, it's right before Christmas, but in our meeting, I think we could probably manage. Maybe Pamela and Martha don't agree, but I just hate to have a CCA board meeting on a Monday before the CUSD boarding. It's possible. I just find that, your life is just awful that weekend before.
Yeah, that's a 60-hour weekend.
Well, that would affect the September meeting, but not the proposed June meeting.
Well, the September and the December meeting.
Yeah. Right.
But not March or June. Well, I guess we're only doing March, aren't we?
Right.
But not the June.
Could we do a Tuesday afternoon?
No, I can't do afternoons.
Okay.
I've got kids that I have to pick up and stuff.
Well, could we possibly do the June on the Wednesday so it isn't a Monday for...
Sure.
And then for you guys. And then maybe the Tuesday in September and December.
That's going to be hard because Tuesdays are conflict for me. I'm usually gone from here by 7:30, and I'm not back till afternoon.
And let's see, so we can't do it on Wednesday in September because of the unaudited actuals. Could we do it the prior week, or is that just impossible? Oh, that's hard for you guys to prepare, right?
Yeah.
It was Wednesday the 8th.
That just makes it a little bit hard for the staff to get it prepared. What about, let's see, Friday?
Why in September? I'm not sure to get it prepared.
Whatever would they have
probably
to prepare.
Will have it completed. She'd probably have it completed in time for that.
And that would be what? September 11th or something?
8th.
The 8th.
I mean, that would be fine with me, but does that work for Cindy?
Cindy, would that work for you? Usually she's done by the end of August, so I think that would probably work for her, but...
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay. So we could choose Wednesday for June, right?
Yes.
And September 8th for September. And then we've got a problem with December. And I'm not going to talk about the organizational meeting because that we're going to have to probably do that separate. But could we do that on, say, December 17th or December 16th?
We know it has to be on the 15th.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, the week before that, so that would be the 9th, December 9th. Could we do that? That's up to Cindy. I don't know how.
She'll have that done. She'll have that done by the end of November, actually, so she'll be fine.
That's a Thursday? The 9th is a Thursday?
I think so.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Okay, so... Mm-hmm. So, let's see. So Wednesday, June 23rd.
Okay.
I think it was Thursday, September 8th.
Yep.
Or say that's December 9th.
Wednesday, but it could be Thursday the 9th.
Yeah, either way. Which do you guys prefer? Do you prefer the 8th or the 9th? I don't think it matters.
The 8th, because we have a meeting on the 9th.
Okay, so let's make it September 8th. That's Wednesday.
Well, this has our meetings on the 9th and the 10th, and we don't meet back to back. But that's a...
Okay, so, and then December 9th, which I think we decided was Thursday. And then Monday, the December 20th for the reorg.
If that's just that one topic meeting, and if we had a meeting earlier than 9 o'clock, would that get you out, Member Perry?
Yes. My meeting starts at 9:30.
Okay, then even at 9 o'clock, if it's a one item, we could do that.
Fine. Yeah.
Well, it's not exactly one item. I guess
there's resolutions. Okay.
But it's pretty cut and dry.
It's quick.
And if we did the reorg first and then Dee had to leave, then, you know, it would just be not a resolution she would miss.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so right. We've got June 23rd, September 8th, December 9th, and December 20th.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
So we need a motion for this, please?
Please. So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? Are we all clear on this? Can we have a roll call vote, please, Kathy?
Sure. Trustee Bronstein?
Aye.
Trustee Jones?
Aye.
Trustee McNicholas? Trustee Perry?
Aye.
Aye.
Trustee Vickers? Oh, thank you. Thank you, Trustee McNicholas and Trustee Vickers.
Quick question. I was just writing it down for the December. Was it December 8th or 9th we decided on?
The 9th?
The 8th or the 9th? Which I thought it was the 8th.
I thought it was the 8th, but I don't.
It was September 8th and December 9th.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Oh, September 8th, December 9th. Correct.
Okay.
We have item 14, reinstatement of 2020-21 furlough days. Patty?
Yes. Some of you may remember that last year we were balancing our budget, and because we had not yet received our incentive grant information for this year, we had to make cuts to balance the budget, knowing full well that we would be receiving the grant and then we'd be able to reverse those cuts. So some of the folks were cut by a month or two, and we knew it wasn't realistic. And so now we've gotten our grants, We've also know that we'll be getting our grant again for next year. We're good for the next 2 years and potentially 3 years. And we've already, in anticipation, included those numbers in our second interim report. So we would not be incurring any additional expense to be added to our estimates for the year. This would just be reinstating what we expected to be able to reinstate and balance our budget.
I will move approval of the reinstatement of the furlough days.
Second.
Patty, just for to make it informative, even if it's the interim report, can you give us a dollar amount to attach to this agenda item?
I believe Cindy might have to help me, but I believe it was under 100,000. So I wanted to say 58,000, but I don't remember if that's the correct amount. Cindy, do you remember what that amount was? You're muted. You're muted.
I'd have to go back and look, but I think it was around that range myself. I do think it was
around 58.
So
yes,
Jan, if you'd like, I can find the exact amount and send it to you, so that you know. But we did already in the second interim report.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
But I believe it was under 100,000. Okay.
Yes. Any discussion on this? No roll call, please.
Trustee Bronstein.
Aye.
Trustee Jones.
Aye.
Trustee McNicholas.
Aye.
Trustee Perry.
Aye.
Trustee Vickers.
Yes. Aye. 15 one-time staff stipend. Patty?
Yes. If you remember last summer, we asked our staff to work on developing online programs using Canvas software. And at the time, we were not able to pay them for the work because we knew that we were waiting for the incentive grant to be able to fund any additional work. So I have discussed this with you a few times in the past. We are just waiting to get our incentive grant allocation, but we would like to be able to pay all of our staff for the extra work that they did in developing the online programs. And then also in developing their hybrid programs, they put in multiple additional hours, and we've estimated it to be approximately a $1,200 stipend per employee.
So, do I wait to ask questions?
You can ask questions. Go
okay.
ahead.
No. Okay, thank you. So I saw that you estimate about 20 hours per course, so that would be about $60 an hour. Is that about right? But then if somebody has done two courses, then it's $30 an hour. And
yeah.
If they've done three.
40.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah. What we did was we estimated that they put in about 20 hours over the summer and during this fall to work on spring in developing their course outlines. If they teach multiple classes, then they were still developing one course outline for those multiple classes that they're teaching, the multiple sections. So we felt it was fair to pay everybody the similar amount. And I've kind of talked with all of them about that, and they're all grateful to be paid for that work.
Okay, great.
Okay, is there a motion for this, please?
Move approval.
Second.
Any further discussion?
I guess that was my question too, is if some spent 60 hours, some spent 20 hours, but they're all getting the same stipend, and you think that's okay?
I don't think we had anyone that spent more hours than others, only because they went to the same trainings, they had to update the same curriculums. So I don't think that we had people who worked 60 hours and others worked 20. I'd say they all worked on average 20.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't think that we're being unfair to anyone.
Okay.
I think it's kind of like any teachers preparing curriculum or grading homework. Some spend many more hours than others. It's kind of the way it is.
And like you said, they're happy that they're getting paid for this.
Right. Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Trustee Bronstein?
Aye.
Trustee Jones?
Aye.
Trustee McNicholas?
Aye.
Trustee Perry?
Aye.
Trustee Vickers?
Yes. And now we have four policies on first reading that are, if I understood this correctly, Patty, they're just involving some wording changes, but not a complete policy revision.
Yes.
Correct. So what we've been doing is going through, and as we've had to look up a policy or something's come up about that policy, we're just updating the name to College Career Advantage. And so that's really the big change. Is that correct, Kathy?
Yes, it is. And then it's a change from Chief Executive Officer to Executive Director.
Right. So our first one is a board policy 4119.11, sexual harassment. And Kathy, you're handling these?
Yes, I am. It's simply a matter of changing the organizational name to the correct name, the correct administrative title. I did research to see when other policies were updated through different ROPs. The most recent update was done by Coastline, and that was in 2012. So nobody really has updated verbiage. So we're going with the same verbiage, just changing the name of the organization and the administrative title.
So I have a question that about all of these, and I ran short of time and didn't get all of them reviewed, but I know that in our district, or in the K-12 district, we generally make a bunch of changes to a policy when we do, mm-hmm. because there's new laws, there's changes in laws, and I'm just not sure whether anything else maybe needed to be changed on these. I believe we do not subscribe to the
Gamut.
Yeah. We don't subscribe to Gamma because it's kind of expensive, but it is also possible to look at Laguna's or Capistrano's current ones and see what their status is. Did we do any of that? I'm particularly concerned about the employee use of technology, because I know the last time Capistrano looked at this policy, we made a lot of changes to it. And the others I don't remember so much. Martha might remember better. But laws change, situations change, you realize that certain things are not covered that need to be covered, etc. So that's my concern.
Okay.
Those changes that you made in CAPA, were they driven by the codes and the law changes?
Honestly, I don't remember. I think in the technology one, it was more changes in technology. There was... I just remember looking at it and thinking, well, this is not how technology goes anymore. But that's all I remember, because it was, you know, not like last year. Again, Martha might remember better.
Well, these are our first reading with an option to waive the second reading. But if you have those questions, we can bring them back at a second reading. And then there would be time for that information to be provided to you.
I did go online and I looked at CUSD's policies. Online, it's showing that 4040, which is in the employee use of technology, was last updated December of 2007.
Oh, really?
Okay. Maybe I read it wrong, but that's what it's showing online.
Well, you're probably right. I guess I just remember. Do you remember, Martha, looking at it more recently than that? It's very familiar to me. You're muted.
I'm trying to remember this particular policy, because we've gone through a lot of policy updates, mostly on changes in law. And I'm thinking, you know, the sexual harassment one here looks very short compared to what I thought we most recently revised. So
now, your sexual harassment online, it's showing it was revised 12 of 15.
Yeah, and that's pretty recent. You know, I'm satisfied to pass these but not waive the second reading. Okay. I would like to have time to compare these to some more recent iterations of them. And I certainly do not believe that what Capistrano Unified does is like the be all and the end all, but I would just like to be sure that we are up to date on all these things. That's my only concern.
Okay.
The tech one, I was actually surprised. In the tech one, it doesn't say that employees have no right to, can't expect any right to privacy with regards to their technology. Usually you see that, those words in these.
Oh, okay.
Just to me, it might not be super up to date. Usually they say, you kind of are getting at that by saying, to ensure proper use, the executive director may monitor employees, but usually it's just straight out like employees have no right to privacy on any technology related to their work, right? So they can't claim it later when you find porn on there and they are mad. But anyway, I think we should probably look at CAPAs.
Yeah, I'm glancing at it here and it doesn't look like it's real different, but
well, for the second reading, I submit specific questions to Kathy? Oh.
Okay.
And then she can get you the answers.
So then I would move approval on all three of these. Why not just do them all at once?
We have four.
Oh, is it four? Sorry.
Is it okay if we do that? Just have all.
Well, so we're going to bring them back.
And bring them back, yeah, and bring them back for a second reading.
So that would be Board Policy 4419.11, Sexual Harassment. Board Policy 4154, Employee Safety. Board Policy 4020, Drug and Alcohol Free Workplace. And Board Policy 4040, Employee Use of Technology. So we had one motion, I believe, on the first policy, or did we not have a motion yet, Kathy?
No motion yet.
Okay, then
I move approval on all four of them.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Okay, any further discussion at this point? So we're going forward with the name change and name changes, and then we'll get questions submitted and bring them back as a second reading.
For the second reading, yeah.
Okay, perfect.
So a roll call, please.
Trustee Bronstein?
Aye.
Trustee Jones?
Aye.
Trustee McNicholas?
Aye.
Trustee Perry?
Aye.
Trustee Vickers?
Yes. Item 20, our board comments. Any additional comments? We have a motion to adjourn.
I have a question. Sorry, okay. I'm just slow. This goes back to a previous question. You're looking for a stagecraft teacher? Mm-hmm. Where? Which campus?
At Capitol Valley and at San Juan Hills High School.
Okay. Because the stagecraft teacher at Dana is only teaching four periods. I don't know whether he could manage to get to Capo or probably not to San Juan Hills.
Is that Nathan, you guys?
Yeah.
Nathan London? Oh, yeah. He's our employee. So we'll have to take a look at that. It might be that he couldn't teach because of the section, the period that they're teaching over at the other site.
Yeah, and those are bell scheduled classes, not after school, right?
Right.
Okay, I just thought. Anyway, okay, move to adjourn.
Second. Okay, roll call, please.
Trustee Bronstein?
Aye.
Trustee Jones?
Aye.
Trustee McNicholas?
Aye.
Trustee Perry?
Aye.
Trustee Vickers?
Yes, thank you. Kathy, I'm getting all these packages of dividers.
Oh, thank you.
Back. How do we...
You can give them to Victoria, and she can send them inter-district.
Oh, great. Because I just keep thinking I'm just using this resource.
Yes, she can send them to me inter-district.
Okay, thank you.